going to have a budget work session to work on the FY 20 budget. So what I wanted to do is just open with a few remarks about why we're here, and then we'll get right down to business. The underlying premise for our budget decisions for the planning of the next fiscal year budget, which is FY 20, begins on July 1st, and the reasons the underlying premise on our decisions is twofold. Financially, we must be reasonable for the short term while also being responsible for the long term. Adjustments to our utility fee structure and property tax rates must be made to first increase and then set a minimum level to support the town's unrestricted general fund balance. Currently, we have a general fund balance, also known as reserves, of $3.7 million, which equals about 5 months' worth of town operating expenses. The mayor and council will need to determine what level of reserve balance is right for our town and set a policy accordingly. There is no one percentage or amount that applies to all towns, large or small. That depends on the vulnerabilities, risk, and expectations of each community, but we will figure it out. Specific issues that need to be addressed in today's workshop are how do we cover the borrowing from the general fund to cover our utility fund losses. Over the past 8 years, the sewer fund has borrowed over $3 million from the general fund to cover operating expenses, while during the last 4 years, the stormwater fund has borrowed about $250,000 from Berlin's general fund. The utility fees charged for these funds must be increased to generate enough cash flow to stop the borrowing and from the general fund, and over time, pay back the loans from the general fund. Even with modest sewer and stormwater fee increases, this repayment cannot be accomplished in just 1 or 2 years. But this must be considered if further borrowing from the general fund is to stop, and the process of repayment is to begin. Looking ahead for the next 5 to 10 years, we must determine what level of capital expenditures should be maintained to meet both immediate and longer-term infrastructure and public safety needs. A close examination of the level of property taxes that will be needed to continue the same level of services that are provided from the general fund is obviously a very base decision we have to make. In the 2018 town budget, property taxes provided 52% of general fund revenues to the town. We must determine what is the appropriate percentage of general fund revenues that should come from town property taxes going forward. We must strike a balance between keeping taxes low while also meeting our financial responsibilities. We must also begin a discussion about how the town will pay for its share of the initial recommendations, again, the town share, not all of it, of the initial recommendations of the Berlin Parking and Mobility Study, which will be complete its first phase later this year. The town share would be based on partnering with the business community to successfully implement the findings for improved parking and mobility in Berlin. It is reasonable to anticipate that there will be some options that we will need to consider and begin to fund for additional public parking and support for increasing alternative mobility options, such as increased pedestrian access, bikes, trams, or other innovations. The mayor and council must look for options for capturing some reasonable level of town revenue from Berlin's economic growth. The private business sector directly benefits from the town's ongoing investments in both infrastructure and economic development. I've long maintained that town residents should not have to underwrite those town investments that are necessary for sustaining and enhancing economic growth in the private sector. I also believe the mayor and council should do everything within our influence and means to ensure that Berlin's economic resurgence is sustainable and does not become just a short-lived flash in the pan. I trust that Berlin residents will ultimately conclude that private sector business growth is a benefit to the town financially, if encouraged in the right places, and if encouraged in the right places for development. To me, the most obvious opportunities for commercial growth in Berlin are along both the US 50 and US 113 highways that intersect our town, as well as along Maryland 346, also known as Old Ocean City Boulevard, which is undergoing the early stages of business revitalization and redevelopment. All in all, I believe we are, if we realistically address the property tax and sewer, water, and stormwater rates for the short term, while also being responsible for the ongoing investments we need to continue to make our community more economically stable and strong, we'll be on the right track. The town of Berlin will then continue on a path of improving our quality of life while balancing current and future needs within our economic means. So that's a lot of ground to cover, but there is a lot of ground to cover in this work session in terms of finances. So right now I'm going to turn it over to Laura, who's going to walk us through a few figures.
Right. Yeah, that actually would be very helpful. A lot of increased pressure from our members in the community for more services. We need to start planning and addressing climate change at a more aggressive level. We've got about $10 million in stormwater infrastructure needs. Excuse me. We have a water and sewer rate capacity study that we're working on and expect to have finalized in the next week or so. Later on in my presentation, I'll talk about why they're recommending, DBF is recommending increases. We've got $10 million in street repair and upgrade needs. And then you have a report about the volunteer fire company and ADMS that indicates they need some additional funding. This chart shows our cash balance and major revenues over time. And you don't really need to look at the text so much as just look at the picture itself. The red line is our revenue, which remains relatively flat, except for those spikes, which are, I believe, when the property tax
Worcester County grant, one-time grant that we receive every year.
But you can see over time that the town has tapped into its reserves. This chart runs from July 2013 through April 2018. And so you can see the overall decline in reserves leading us to about where we are today. This is also very difficult to read, but in your handout, you'll see the chart here shows what our audited financial statements demonstrated as a deficit. And so we basically pulled $1.8 million out of the reserves to cover our operating expenses. And as you look at the table, you'll see option one provides one description of what a property tax rate and change could do, option two, option three. We made some assumptions about what might happen going forward in terms of inflation, which is reflected here as a cost of living adjustment. Nally will probably talk about this a little bit more later in her presentation, but one of the questions we received is kind of like, what's the magnitude of the problem and what are our options in terms of addressing it? And we believe something around option four would probably address pretty much the entire problem with 10% budget cuts and some adjustments in our approach to capital expenditures. So if you choose option three, we'd pretty much put a complete hiatus on capital expenditures and we'd also do 10% budget cuts. So that would also help. But somewhere in that option three to option four range is what we see as your best choice, or what would be our recommendation in terms of something to do to really address the problem in the general fund. I also wanted to mention, and this chart shows the annual inflation rate in the United States from 2012 to 2017. In terms of context, I think it's important to keep in mind that while the town takes steps to control its expenditures, some things are outside of our control, and inflation happens to be one of them, so things start to cost more. You know, gas costs more, equipment costs more, other supplies we need in order to operate our utilities and other portions of our general fund functions end up costing more over time in that compound. So when people think kind of like, how did we get here? From my perspective, that inflationary pressure is part of that answer.
What are you using as your inflation metric?
actually, this is a chart that I took off the internet from the water sewer study that we're working on.
Can we figure out what they're using?
Yeah, I can
use
the CPI
or CPI.
Yeah, I can use that, sure. So Natalie's going to get into the details of the real estate property tax rates. Got it.
No, give me a pen, please.
Sure. You want to pass it?
No.
No, I can go there.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So I'm just going to go over the details, and basically Lori has covered or given the overview. A couple of next charts. The first one, you see the blue graph up here representing the municipalities surrounding us as well as counties. So basically those are tax, real estate tax rates, and we have collected that from State Department Assessment and Taxation website. It's posted when they update it every year. So those rates as of for fiscal 2018 will be billed for fiscal 2019. So if we're looking at our Town of Berlin rate at 68 cents on 100, we're pretty much on a very low level. And then what you see colorful little roofs above it gives an idea if we go into a next level of increasing to 73 cents, 75, 78, where we would stand in comparison with the others. While thinking about the rates here, it's very important to know, sometimes we should ask a question, well, how come Ocean City, for example, can afford staying at 47 cents, or how come the county is a lower rate, or vice versa. If we go to the next slide, the net accessible base is what plays the most important part of it. The bigger the base, the bigger revenues municipality collects or county collects for the general fund.
Sorry about that.
So by looking and comparing, example, Ocean City, which is nearby, charges 47 cents on 100, but their accessible base rate is almost 9 million. So that where the difference come in play. So comparing the rates and comparing the base is important to take into consideration as well. How much we have in our surrounding area in real estate as a tax rate base.
Well, yeah. 9 billion.
9 billion, sorry.
It's hard to get used to those big numbers.
So couple of slides is basically a detailed information on the slide that Laura went over. It's giving you an explanation of how would we calculate how much additional revenues we will collect if we go to the next potential rate. So as of right now, our net accessible real property base is, I'm just going to round the numbers, $410 million. Our rate at 68, so potential revenue that we will be collecting is 2.8. Of that, a breakdown, we have about 17% in commercial properties overall in the Town of Berlin that consist of, and then 83% is all residential homes. So then we go into scenarios, or we call it options up here. On the right side, we will see if we go into increase our rate by 5 cents, for example. So obviously our rate will go to residential 73. And okay, so back up a little bit. We're breaking here to two different rates, playing the scenario between assessing the tax rate at certain amount for residential and different amount for commercial. So per discussion and prior, we've taken a couple of examples and decided the 5 cent difference would be between residential and commercial. So if we're increasing the tax rate 5 cents, we're going to 73 cents, or it would become 78 cents for the commercial. The blue lines, 240,000, 100,000, this is a potential revenue will be generated if we go to the next rate.
Do you see that?
So I'm just going to give everybody a minute to just kind of
it's the
get
blue,
familiar.
Mm-hmm. It's the blue highlighted portion of that chart. I just want to make sure we see that.
Got it.
Okay.
There you go.
It's right there.
So the blue amount. generated from the net assessable base with the increased tax rate going forward. So option two would be an increase going to 75 cents for residential and 80 cents for commercial will generate potentially $322,000. On the next page, option three, going to 78 cents for residential and 83 cents for commercial will generate $445,000 in revenues. And on the bottom, you see also what's the percent to consist of. That will be roughly 16% more. Option four, we will go to 80 cents for residential, 93 cents for commercial, generating additionally 855,000, about 30% increase. And the final option is going to increase by 25 cents, going up to 93 cents, or 98 cents for commercial, will give us roughly $1 million in potential revenues going forward. Next slide, orange bars. They represent only commercial portion. So the question was posed, what will commercial part and difference between residential rate and commercial will give us? So just looking at the commercial rates and put them aside as a different assessing the real estate taxes on the commercial. So on the bottom, oops, wrong button. Those are the rates, 78 cents, 80 cents, 83, 93, and 98. And atop, you see how much additional revenue is potentially projected to be generated from commercial rates.
Natalie,
yes.
What do the other municipalities in the area charge as a commercial tax rate?
They don't have a differentiation right now.
Nobody in Worcester or Wicomico?
No.
No. How about Pocomoke?
I'm sorry?
Pocomoke does.
Pocomoke have different in residential between homeowner occupied and non-occupied. So
yeah,
there is a difference, but not commercial.
Commercial.
Montgomery and I believe Caroline County, they do have breakdown between commercial and residential, but not close by to us as of right now.
Thank you.
So then the question was also asked, what if we don't go to commercial separately from residential? How would that play out in the projections? So this basically is exactly the same scenarios with the same projections, but the commercial rates completely taken out. So we would just change the rate and go over the increases for residential, or I shouldn't call residential, for in general real estate properties in general. So option one is our current situation with 68 cents. If we go into 5 cents with 73 cents, the potential revenue become 205. If we go in 7 cents up to 75 cents, the potential revenue will become 287. Option 3, if we go into 78 cents, the potential revenue we will collect 410. Option 4 is 88 cents with the revenues collected 820. And option 5, going up to 93 cents, will potentially give us $1 million in revenues. So my real estate discussion text is pretty much over. Well, Laura will take over what a sewer, but I will take any questions, I guess.
Yes, you want to take questions as well.
In regards to taxes before we move to water sewer.
You sent some charts by way of email. Are they included in this presentation?
You're talking about with the little house and the little business?
Yes.
Yes, sir. That's at the end.
Okay.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, cool. So water and sewer rates. You may recall the auditors came to us recently and talked about the debt that sewer fund owes to the general fund. The general fund has been supporting the sewer fund for about 8 years, as the mayor indicated. We've been working with DDF to do a water and rate study. Unfortunately, that's not ready for you today, but I expect to have it done in the next couple weeks. DDF estimates that we need to increase our water and revenues by 10% and our sewer revenues by about 15% to eliminate the shortfall in these funds. So water has a little bit of an operational issue. Water has a little bit of an operational issue. Sewer has about a $3 million deficit. So what we're proposing up here, and you can see from the chart, is in the first year, we would propose that you would adopt this as part of your budget process. So it'd be effective July 1, a increase in water revenues of 5% and sewer revenues of 10%. What we're recommending is a retiering, and I'll show you the charts for that in a minute. So not just a straight rate increase, but also a retiering proposal so that it's not just a 100% rate increase. We're proposing no impact on customers using less than 3,000 gallons a month. Those are your low-end users. That's about 32% of your customers. And about 50% of your customers will experience roughly an 8% increase. And so this is a little bit different than the attachment I sent to you earlier this week, where I identified a 5%. Further conversations and refinement with DDF indicates that that increase would be closer to 8%. This would rebalance the water fund in the first year. Then we're proposing a 7% increase in the sewer fund in year three. This is a pure rate increase, no restructuring, and all customers would experience a 7% increase. This would result in rebalancing the sewer fund and also providing a small balance to start to repay the general fund. And then in year five, we're proposing an increase of 3 to 5%. This would be just a pure rate increase on sewer, and it would generate funding to repay the general fund in approximately 10 to 15 years. Let me show you what that looks like graphically. So here's what water and sewer would look like in year one. You can see the existing rates on the left-hand side in the smaller table and the proposed for year one. And in the graph, if you look, you've got the gray water and gray sewer as existing, and then water in blue as proposed, and sewer in red as proposed. So if you look at this, you can see we're adjusting the tiering from 8,000 to about 7,000, so the rate will go up in a different sort of schedule than it is currently. That break would occur at 5,000, and then at 7,000 instead of 6,000 and 8,000 for water and sewer. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And then if you look at the bottom, you'll be able to see what the annual estimated increase in the water account would be. So that's what it would look like year one. And again, you'd have about 32% of your customers unaffected, and we think that that's a nice way to sort of reward them for their conservative use. The other thing that this rate adjustment would do in the retiering is we believe it would encourage conservation because you're sort of redefining your high-end users and you're increasing the rate for them. And so we think that there will be some movement towards conserving water use. Next chart up we have is year three. This is just a pure adjustment of 7% for sewer. So you'll see the blue line, there's no change there. And then there's a change. You can see the gray would be the existing based on the change you adopted in year one. And then the red would be the new one should you approve this for year three. At the bottom, you can see that generates about $225,000. And then in year five, again, this would be a range somewhere between 3 and 5%. I think previous tables I've given you showed about a 3% increase. Based on conversations with the mayor, he felt a range would be more appropriate. And so the chart really shows a 3% adjustment. But my recommendation would be in the resolution, should you approve this plan, we would include language that would require the town to take steps in year four to analyze what was needed. And then they would make a decision, you know, what the appropriate adjustment would be. That's the water sewer. Stormwater. stormwater utility and to apply for grants as part of that. So currently the fee generates about $170,000 in annual revenue. That breaks down to about 70 from residential properties and about 100 from commercial properties, roughly. The fee for residential properties is currently $50 a year. And for commercial properties, it's $25 per 2,100 square feet of impervious surface. So essentially with commercial properties, it's based on how much impervious surface they have. And what we're recommending is that you double the residential fee, so it would go from 50 to 100, and that you increase the commercial rate by 30%. So then the $25 per 2,100 square feet would go to $32.50. This should generate an additional $70,000 in residential fees, about $30,000 in commercial fees, or $100,000 for the fund. And you could set aside, and I'm just proposing $20,000 a year and pay it back in 11 to 13 years, or if you wanted to be more aggressive, you could allocate another larger portion and pay it down much more quickly. So lastly, if we could go to the last chart here. Natalie did a nice job, I thought, of putting this comparison together. And the intent here is to sort of summarize all of what we've discussed to give you a sense of what the impact would be on your residential property owners and your commercial property owners. So in the top part, you can see the house, and we've got a house here at a value of about $200,000, and we're assuming they're consuming about 3,000 to 5,000 gallons of water. And so we've got the current tax rate and what that property would be paying in an annual tax bill, annual water, sewer, and stormwater, what that total would be. And then we've just picked a couple of options for you to consider with regard to the property tax rate. We've given you five, but we don't have five listed here. We've just listed three. So you can see the impact of a 78-cent increase on property tax, as well as the proposal for water and sewer and stormwater. And then each of those columns, as you move across, and here, let me do this for the audience. So this is the current rate in this column. And then we're here's the information regarding the 78-cent property tax rate, and here's the information for the 88-cent property tax rate, and then there's the one for the 93-cent property tax rate. All the other information, the water and sewer and the stormwater information, just sort of travels across the spreadsheet. So you can see based on this, the impact, should you increase it, the property tax to 78%, and do what we're recommending.
Or 78 cents.
Did I say cents?
No, you said percent.
Oh, 78 cents, yeah. Thank you.
It would be a little odd.
78 cents. Assuming you do that, and you also follow our recommendations on water and sewer and stormwater, that's going to increase this sample property's bills by $324, which is about 14% increase.
The first one, the 93.
Yeah, and then it's 24. If you go across, that's the analysis. So you can kind of see the cumulative impact of these changes on a sample home. Again, we're making some assumptions about the value and usage. And then underneath that, we've got the same. Oh.
Do we have any data on like the median household value?
I don't know if you know what that
is. The real estate tax. For the real estate property?
Yeah.
So it's, I've looked it up at several homes, Main Street, and kind of like around this, our Main Street center. They run about from 180 to 250, so I took a 200 as a median.
Okay. And then the same for commercial?
And the same for commercial.
Right.
Thank you. So just that's a nice segue. Thank you. So underneath the residential analysis, we have the commercial with a little retail operation there. The assumption here is the value of the commercial property is 400,000 and it uses 3,000 to 5,000 gallons. And it's the same analysis here. We've got the current rate and what that property would be paying, and then the changes go across. So then in this case, it would be 83 cents. So this chart reflects a differential in the commercial rate between the commercial and residential property rate. So in this case, for the commercial property, it would be 83 cents. And then 93 cents, and then 90 cents. And then the impact. impact of the cumulative impact of that first change, the 83 cent change in carbon taxes, the water and sewer recommendations and the stormwater recommendations would be $764 or 20%. And it just sort of comes across. And we have multiple copies of this for the audience, so if for some reason the slides seem difficult, please don't hesitate to grab a packet. You're welcome to it. That concludes our presentation, unless there's some questions.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there will be.
Of course.
One is that I think we hear what the recommendations are for revenue and fee increases. I think what we all need is some perspective and where the where we need what we need the money for, and where are the areas that, you know, we understand that about the water and sewer, but for the property tax of the general fund, where would be the deficits? What would happen if we didn't have these increases?
Right. So if we go back, we'll just take you back to one of the first charts. So I'm going to get to the budget chart, which is on page 4 in your in your attachment. So the analysis here shows that you've got a shortfall of about 1.8. If you look at your budget, and I'm not proposing that you eliminate any entire departments, but I can ask the police chief, what's the size of your budget? What's the size of your budget?
$2 million.
So, you know, $2 million. It would take significant operational reductions to do this. Now, I think some combination of property tax increases and some budget reductions would be, from my perspective and my recommendation to you, the best recommendation. Your department directors are working on 10% budget reductions now. That was some direction I gave them in January. Natalie's given them the spreadsheets and access to Tyler today, so they'll be working on those budget cuts over the next.
That's across the board.
Across the board.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
even the electric utility, who's really not being sort of folded into this, but is a team player, is looking at 10% reductions.
At 10%, what's the approximate total?
Yeah, budget line, yeah, for the general fund.
So I have general fund right now. I
don't
have enterprise funds.
Yeah.
For the line in blue right there, you have $7,755,000. That is an actual expenses as of fiscal 18 audited financial statement.
Oh, you mean the gray line?
The gray line.
Gray.
Okay.
Yeah, right there.
Okay.
Gray line. Yes, great.
So
if we take in 10% off, we will go to approximately 6.982 to be exact.
So 700,000.
Yes.
Did we get any kind of bump from the last assessment? What was the difference between the prior assessment revenue and what we got at this?
$27,000 extra.
Yeah.
How much?
The assessments didn't go up.
That's all. Yeah.
$27,000.
Those assessments are Those assessments are ridiculous. What can we do with? When you're talking about a budget size of ours, what can you do with $27,000? Everybody assumes it's going up $270,000. It's not.
Right.
And it's very frustrating.
Now, many of the constituents that I've heard have called me with $20,000 to $30,000 increases in their assessment at the state level. Now, that trickles down, of course, but
We're left with raindrops. I mean, that's one of the problems in the state. This is a statewide problem because municipalities...
You can see it from your revenue side how it pretty much stays flat the whole time. I was just a thought over the last 3 years. Now, maybe 3 years from now, it goes up.
So what happened with assessments, it goes every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We are in phase 2 of 3 years. We will not be reassessed for another full year. Saying that we will be reassessed in the next year, that is not going to be in effect for the year after, because we will be reassessed in 2020, which will be billed in 2021. So
Right. Basically
the new base will be in effect, and we will see the effect of new values come in our territory. If somebody built something, if somebody added something, a porch or a garage,
sure,
We will not see that in our base till 2021.
Right. 2 years. Gotcha.
Well, one of the things that brings us here is our audit report, and it talked about reserves, having healthy reserves. The mayor talked about currently we have, I think, 6 months or
five months.
And we haven't determined yet what that number should be for the town of Berlin. I know it concerns me about how we have, I'm not going to use our surplus, and it was used because it was needed, and it needed to be used. I'm not knocking that, but now's the time to try to build that up. And if we have a department that's operating at a deficit because of the rate structure, it would be negligent of us to not try to correct that at this point. We talked about the plan that was presented. Talked about, 32% of our constituents not participating in this increase in the first year. Well, I really do think that needs to be looked at, because we're at a place now where, and don't get me wrong as to what I'm saying or what I'm gonna say or how I say it, but to leave 32% of our population out of this endeavor the first year, I think is a mistake. I think everyone needs to participate.
And just make just a point of clarification. We're talking about the water and sewer rates,
yes.
Not property tax, which is a whole separate.
Yeah.
Just now, so everybody's on the same page.
Now I'm gonna get the property tax.
Yes.
Property tax is a different thing. I think I saw a chart where if it was first tell me, at one time in our evolution, we decreased the tax rate.
Mm-hmm. 6 years ago. By five cents per hundred. It was 73.
And we put it back to 68.
As a result, one of the ways we tried to cope with the community's concerns about the Great Recession, at that point, most people thought that things were going to get really, really bad. So, in response to that, we decreased it, and that worked on until we had this major. Part that was never planned was how much borrowing had to be done from the general fund for particularly sewer. That's just one of those things I wish you could always tell what's going to go bump in the night, but it wasn't a small bump, it's a big bump. And we have to, that's why those rates have to increase. And I think what you're talking about is how do we equitably increase the rates so everybody's paying their fair share.
This scenario shows that a chart based on a $200,000 assessment, and I wanted to see the difference of what someone would be paying annually, increase wise. If we went from, and tell me if I'm wrong, if we went from 68 to 78, that's a dime.
with a $200,000 assessment, the increase would be $200.
For the tax only.
He's just talking about property tax.
Oh, just property tax.
He's just talking about the real estate property tax.
Yeah. $200.
$200, yes.
If we went from, now this is a $200,000 assessment. If we went from 68 to 88 cents, the increase would be, the annual increase would be of $400. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
For this example, yeah.
Yes.
Some would pay less, but some would pay more.
Yes, some would pay more.
Are there any restrictions on how high we can raise as a percentage rate in one time?
No.
For property tax?
There's no legal restriction.
No.
There's no legal restriction.
It's what the public would support.
I know, in some cases.
What can realistically afford? Yeah, what we can all realistically afford.
Just to give an example, last year for fiscal 19, every year we receive a page from State Department of Assessment and Taxation listing the whole entire net base what we assessed on and our tax rate. And then they call it a constant yield rate, which is an average calculated. You consider to be exempt if your rate is slightly above or equal to. If you are below, we have to advertise, which we done last year. So last year we actually were below of constant yield rate. That was the first time, and I don't know if it's ever, but in a long time. But as for the ceiling, I have not found any language that restricts us on or puts the brackets of what's the minimum or maximum.
Yeah, it's not a legal limit. Yes. There's other factors that you should take into consideration.
I agree. The voters will police that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But I saw some language, something along with Natalie's saying, and that kind of puzzled me a little bit with some of the percentages that we had. I wanted to make sure we weren't trying to go outside of some limit.
It looks like the sewer has been the biggest contributor of this deficit. And what happened in the last 3 or 5 years that threw our budget out of whack from what we thought we were in and what actually happened?
I'll let Jane take that one.
Yeah.
When they initially did the rate study back last time we raised the rates, I think it was 2014. That's when the new spray site came on board. I don't think that they really knew what everything was going to be required to, because virtually we have 3 sites that we have to maintain, plus a treatment plant, this new treatment plant, which is highly mechanical. There's a tremendous amount of maintenance where before it was more like just going through and gravity. And we have chemical increases. There's just been a tremendous amount of electric costs have gone way up, just because everything is from blowers and mixers and aerators, and so I think it was underestimated at the time.
And it becomes pretty obvious because every year we sit down and we look through this and we go, okay, and that is the biggest hole. Yeah. Does what we're proposing with these water and sewer rates just stem the tide, or does it get us back ahead of where it was?
It's going to take about 10 to 15 years, right, to pay back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does stem the tide.
Yeah.
Right.
It does.
Because nothing, when we sell an EDU, that just goes towards the bond payment.
Right. Yeah. One good bit of news, we are ahead on that.
Right. It's all that. But we can't apply any of that money towards operational, which is problem is.
Yeah.
The
capital cost
is a little bit different. We only could purchase, expand additional infrastructure towards the wastewater or repay existing.
Right.
And this,
well, the additional infrastructure, and what I know from private sector, I see it and I feel it from the public sector side, the cost that those guys originally thought 5, 8, 10 years ago have gone, they're quadrupled in some instances, where before they only went up 25-30% over the same period of time. I mean, I feel your pain, and I know why this stuff costs so much more. Just, I don't think anybody anticipated it costing as much as it did.
Yeah.
in the general fund as well, of asphalt, sewer and water pipes and stuff like that too. So,
and again,
we gotta know how we gotta fix it.
Well, and one of the things that everybody needs to keep in mind, because yesterday is easily forgotten, is that for several years we could not add any hookups because we're under a moratorium.
Oh, I'm on that.
Because we didn't have the capacity. We didn't have the capacity, and what we had was not up to the level that is expected and we provide now. So we're kind of we were double hit, where even if people wanted to open up a business or if they wanted to relocate here, they couldn't.
Right.
And we were on the bubble for years, not just a few months. Mm-hmm. And so that's the other part of it is, I think you're right, the upgrade costs were considerably more, and the operational costs were really.
That's where I see every single year for the last five, mm-hmm. getting more and more and more out of whack every year,
mm-hmm.
is the operation.
And to add to that, the aging infrastructure from the beginning, when the wastewater plan was the gold and everything, I see that Jane is spending more on contracted services and inspection and compliance fees.
Yeah.
Because back then it was all new, and we're not looking at it that it should be reviewed and verified three times versus one. Right now they're going and certifying this piece of equipment or repairing this piece of equipment because it's putting some age on it.
Right. And the infrastructure in the streets, I mean, there's some of those sewer lines, and I mean, anytime we open up a road,
there's the cost of the road,
right.
and the sidewalks and all that. And then there's maybe almost an equivalent amount underground, sometimes.
Absolutely.
More.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons, I'm sure the town, I'm sure they always wanted to fix all the streets, but literally you've got to pay twice whenever you take on these streets that haven't had anything significantly done to them since the early 20th century. That's about 100 years in some cases. Gay Street is a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the cost, what was the cost to upgrade everything below the surface, roughly?
Well, it was
for Gay Street?
Yes.
No, I think it was an additional $200,000 just for the
collection.
Okay.
But the total was double that.
Yeah.
But that was something we didn't have in the budget to do.
No, it was.
Yeah, it's just all you opened it up and went, uh-oh.
And again, that was predicated because we didn't have enough water. Water pressure on the hydrants weren't adequate. So, I mean, that's a safety concern. We had to do something.
Now, have we started to see any of those highway user revenues coming in yet?
I don't think they're coming in any more than, I mean, last year I think it came in higher. I don't know if the legislature is doing anything specific. Remember how
last year they did during the...
Yeah, but was it that much more?
The only increase we're receiving, so the highway user revenues is structured two ways. One is that the monthly amount that distributed, and then one-time grant payment. So we did see a slight increase in one-time grant payment, and I think largely because each municipality had applied, stating how many projects been behind or deferred because there is not enough money to repair the streets. I'm not sure if they're going to increase maybe a little bit this year. I hope
so. Well, just so you know, because I was at the Maryland
yeah,
Mayor's Association meeting on January 31st and February 1st. In 2 years, they're going to go backwards big time. So they're just doing what they're doing now. They appeased everybody, and then we get cut way back, and it's just a disaster. Yeah, it's kind of like saying, okay, you're going to be all right. Oops, now you're back where you were. And the idea was we thought it was being built back to be maintained.
Yeah.
So that's another thing, is that I think realistically what's changing overall is the longer we go in this first couple decades, or two or three decades in the 21st century, the more self-reliant we're going to have to be. It's not just Berlin, it's everywhere. And that means we have to make choices about not the amount of money that we spend, but where we spend it and how. And it's just, you know, just light. It's not that, you know, blame the state or blame anybody. It's changing. And the cost part, the cost of essential things, and that's why I think this country's in such terrible shape with infrastructure, because the costs are exorbitant compared to what they thought they'd be.
So I just wanted to take a minute and revisit this
mm-hmm.
water and sewer proposal for a second, because it does, on the sewer side, it does stem the tide, but it doesn't really get the fund.
Mm-hmm.
In rebalanced position. transition until year three. So yeah. I wanted to make sure that was clear.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
we're going to do a significant bump in year one, which helps tremendously, but the fund wouldn't be completely rebalanced until year three under this proposal. It would be rebalanced, plus you'd have a little extra that you could use to pay back the general fund, but that fifth year increase would be needed to really make significant repayments back to the general fund.
And that's just for water and sewer. Stormwater would still be a longer
exactly,
horizon.
Right. And on the, in the case of water, we're saying just in year one, bump it up to generate 5% additional revenue, and that's really all the water fund needs. Now, you know, I think it'd be smart in year four for the town to look at both funds again, just to make sure, you know, NAB does a really nice job of, you know, keeping on top of this. So, you know, we can keep an eye on it, and if we need to make another adjustment, we can do that. But again, I think the resolution, should you adopt this approach, the resolution should include a requirement to do an analysis in year four so that you've got a fresh perspective
yeah.
on where the funds are. Before you make a decision about it.
And we just don't let it get away from us, since we're aware of it now.
Well, what would happen if we changed year one to year three? How would that impact the little house graph you got here?
I don't think I understand the question. You're saying that do nothing in year one and just do it all in year three?
No, move year three. And make that year one.
Oh, okay. So
it becomes 17%.
Solve all of our problems 17. In year one.
Well, what does that do to your graph, and what does it do to the individual household based on this 3,000 to 5,000 gallon limit?
I don't know if I have a good sense of that. Do you, Natalie?
I will have to run the numbers over again. You're talking about it, put in different rates from year three on. I'm trying to clear what
yeah,
basically,
so
moving year one not from to 10% increase for sewer, but
uh-huh.
to 17. So what and I
keep in mind that's not a
okay,
full.
Okay, so
yeah.
to clarify this specific, the 5 and 10 is not the rate increase, it's
yeah.
a revenue generated increase. So we need to look. Laura, can you please get, do you have the
paper? Oh, you want this?
So the rates and actual rates, that's what applied to the little house structure out there. The 5 and 10, it's an actual generated monies that would be produced if we go into that rate structure.
That was sent to us.
Yes,
yeah,
so I think the
PDF.
Answer is we can figure that out.
Yeah.
You, but I don't think we can do that on the fly.
Yes. So if you would send that
sure.
to me with Excel, yeah. because it was sent in PDF, and,
yeah.
and I can't do nothing with it.
That's true.
She'll send it to everybody.
So if I could just make sure I understand. So it sounds like what you're suggesting, Dean, would be, just percentages aside, let's just talk about it conceptually, basically rebalance both the water and sewer fund in the first year.
Yeah.
That would generate a little bit of extra we could give to the general fund. And then would you propose moving year five to year three so we compress this over a three-year period instead of over a five-year period?
And just wipe out the recommendation for year one. Do away with what you have for year one. Make year three year one.
Okay.
And make year five year three.
So what I understand you to say in that case is that you don't want us to do anything for a couple of years and just do it in year three.
No. What are you saying? Let me say it and see if we're okay.
Yeah.
Is make the year one increase for sewer rate 17%,
uh-huh.
all right? And in year five, an additional 3 to 5% based on what we're seeing as our cost. Is that
uh-huh.
accurate?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. So nothing in between.
And again,
yeah.
and some of these things, this is the first work session. I don't think if we get everything resolved one night, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think we need to know where we're trying to get to.
And we can sit up here and talk about percentages and all this kind of stuff. Unless I see a dollar amount that it's going to possibly impact the citizens, I just can't figure that out.
Right.
You know,
and that's why we put this together.
I need to, yes, I liked your little chart with the house and the local shop. That gives me a dollar amount that is going to impact me.
But you want the same thing done with the sewer and water rates? That's what you're saying. It's okay, that can be done.
That'll work.
And with some, with that comparison or whatever.
Sure. While we're talking about resolutions, can we craft one that has some sort of establishing a limit for at which time we should kind of be on alarm about our
reserves?
Okay. That would would take almost, I mean, if it had some measures that we could almost put a pause button on things until that's built back up, that would be nice.
Dean, are you still proposing to take the 5% water and across the board, regardless of amount of gallons used?
That would.
So it includes the 32%.
Yes, he's saying yes. Yeah. He's saying everything. Yeah,
yes, that would include those
3,000. Go back to what Zach said.
32%.
I'm listening.
One of the things there is that by building up the reserve and what percentage we should have, is that what we have to look at too is making sure that the reserve is being built back up, obviously. And the other thing is, what things, I assume that the budget, and I can't remember because of so many details, that we're not talking about any planned reserve budget subsidies for the new fiscal year.
That's the plan.
And that's where, and again, you want to play a little on the safe side. And then building it back up, I mean, first stop the bleeding, and then building it back up. And I think what we all have to figure out is, what should we build it up to? Because if it takes 5 years, it doesn't mean we can't, we won't ever have an emergency, or we won't have something that we got to do. So I think we have to have, again, I'm throwing it out as an idea, a range, saying this is what we ideally want to happen in the second and third year, here's where we want to be. And then, you know, we can do whatever everybody wants to do. I think we have to have a goal, just like anything else, and say this is what, so we'll know as we go forward. Because I can think we can anticipate that expenses are only going to go up.
And I mean, we're in an interesting place because we have an electric utility. So a typical municipality, they would say maybe have 8 months of financing in your reserves. But that's a typical municipality that doesn't have an electric utility. If we get one good storm, we could be
but there again,
in a jam.
The electric utility and all the requirements there, it has to be self-sufficient.
I agree, but let's just, so if a storm did come through and we had a large capital outlay, where would we get that money from?
It came from your reserves.
Right. Point is that we need to make sure that we have the ability to handle that to some level. Obviously, we can't, if the whole town was flattened, we can't plan for that. Yeah. But at least some.
Percent because of the added responsibility and liability for the.
Exactly. Yeah. The typical 8 months might not work for us.
I heard a lot of focus around water and sewer. Any feedback on our real estate property taxes? Because we're going to be moving into budget preparation. If you've got additional information you'd like us to gather, we can do that.
And one thing, I remember you asked the chief about, the liability there, but also point out and how much it costs and so forth. Also like to point out that, again, and I'm not upset, but for years, we have made and continue to make substantial investments in economic development. I hope the county gets on board with that someday. The state certainly has been very supportive. The county's not working against it. They're just kind of neutral, right? But I honestly believe the investments we made these last decade in economic development in this town have paid off more than we expected. But we don't get a return on that as I feel we need to. So I think that that's another thing we need to look at is, give an example. One way we can, Ivy, don't pass out. Let's say, what about, okay, we'll just cut our losses and say, no more economic development.
Yeah. That budget, okay, so just for your reference, it's about
$330,000.
Yeah, that's right. So it's not going to help you much in your $1.8 million.
No. But again, we're cutting by 10%, but to cut, even by 100% in the department is not going to solve the overall issue because the numbers are so big. But I can tell you, I think if we stopped economic development, we might as well leave town.
Yeah.
And to piggyback on what the mayor said, I think the 10% is a good goal. But one thing that I would really hate for us to do is something, I know it's a hypothetical,
yeah, sure,
but for us to stop making some investments that are going to pay dividends down the road.
Yeah.
So what I would like to see is the departments come up with whatever their capital request would be without the 10%.
Yeah.
And then us evaluate, okay, are certain things going to have more of an effect down the road if we put, if we kick that can down?
We would do that analysis at the staff level anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's,
but I think
I would like a report,
yeah,
on,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, and I think that should be, you know, as part of the budget process.
So
right,
what we're talking about is that we're going to be presented with a department budget that is $2 million, let's say.
Okay.
And the 10% would be $200,000.
That comes down.
We're going to be presented with how that $2 million budget will be cut to
1.8,
and what will be cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have,
okay,
to identify. It
as
can't
part
be, we'll,
as
we'll
part
get
of
around.
The presentation,
okay. Okay.
They will,
okay,
say to you, here's how we reach that 10% goal.
Because citizen expectation of services is paramount. And we don't want to cut these services or the quality of services that folks here in the town of Berlin have become accustomed to. Do you,
mm-hmm,
know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
So I agree with Zach that we just need to see that balance.
And is it the 10% total or just operational?
It's total. That would
it's
be,
total.
I think that should be the responsibility of what needs to be cut or the recommendations. I think that need to be left with the department heads.
I
oh,
see,
yeah,
excluding fringe benefits,
yeah,
payroll,
yeah.
And some of those things. But as
that's
far as like
expenses. I don't think we need to exclude anything. I think it needs to be left to the department heads as to what
let me just express
they would like,
yeah,
to.
Yeah, and that's the way it's been
to,
working. And
adjust.
But here's the thing, I want to say this in terms of my, I don't know how to describe our conversations I've had with Laura. It's not like we just started today,
mm-hmm,
talking about this. and he starts earlier every year. But I've indicated to her that, you know, we have been, I think, as supportive because we know how to be for our employees for raises and benefits.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't. We have 1 year back. You know, I think it was 1 year back when the recession hit really hard. Maybe a second year in the last 10 years. Most of the other years, we've had a 2% increase, sometimes 3%. And I'm saying this year, when we're in this kind of crunch, I think we just need to take a breather. And it's not aimed at, it's not about lack of performance or anything.
Yeah,
it's just,
yeah,
if we're going to spread it around among all the taxpayers and all the fee payers, we also need to spread it among everybody, including our employees, without anybody, you know, being in economic distress.
Along those lines, I've told the department directors that they should not consider requesting any additional positions this year, that this year is just not the year for that,
yeah,
kind of
request. We want to try to get the boat righted and get,
yeah,
everything, and then take a look and see where we are and see what we can do in the future. But, you know, it's not the first time. I mean, you know, I can't remember. It's certainly been before. I'll get that for 15-year service award. We haven't raised taxes in this town in over 15 years.
I mean, lowered them.
Yeah, we
lowered them.
Oh, yeah. Not that I've well.
That's
not that we're here
looking at here.
But I'm saying, yeah, yeah.
The 0.68 for a long time.
Six years.
And we never anticipated the amount of infrastructure stuff that she had to do and the roads had to do that we did. And that's
and
the biggest two spots I'm seeing our hole is. And we never did any. We knew it was coming. We did it all. And then we see, okay. I mean, it looks every year we're eating into this thing $2 million.
this is the year it's got to stop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there a real estate property tax rate or two that you would like us to pay more attention to?
Yeah, I think that would be
something. Provide more information on?
I would like to see that. I know we're not going to solve all the problems.
Yeah.
And I think we need to give Laura and the department heads and finance director some indication of where we are and narrow this, not exactly, but have just a couple, maybe a low and a high, and maybe they're not that far apart, but I think they need some guidance, and I think nothing's going to change in the next couple months or anytime soon based on what we got. What we've got is what we've got, and let me just throw something out. I'll just throw it out. It seems to me that we have two decisions to make. One is what the property tax rate should be, you know, maybe the low and the high, maybe there's only 5 cents difference, what, or 10 cents, whatever. And if that should be a rate sufficient enough to cover, to bring in the additional revenues we have, and it's just one rate, we do have the option. And, you know, and I don't, you know, I know I'm just looking at what's legal and what's possible. We also have the option of having two-tier system, which I know is not unique. It might be unique in Worcester County, but it's not in the state, where you then have one rate for residential and maybe a slightly higher rate, not a lower rate, for commercial. And here's the thing I think we need to think about, is that I think we have done the right thing and should continue to do the right thing in investing in the infrastructure and economic development that has been not the only factor, but has been a critical factor in the economic revitalization of this town. I don't think we should stop. That's why I said in my comments there, I don't think we should just say, oh, that was a nice flash in the pan, it's all over now, and then watch things dwindle, right? That's not what I think we should be doing. But on the other hand, I think when we're talking about maybe if there's special fees, all right, mm-hmm. I'll give you an example, special fees for parking and mobility. There, we don't have a parking problem on the highways or most of our roads. We have a parking problem downtown. So we'll see what the parking study says, but I think we need to anticipate that they're not going to say, oh, you can fix all your problems and it won't cost a dime. Come on, you know. But what we can do is say, what should we have as our share, and how do we provide what we should put up, and then how does the private sector contribute? So I think we have to think about that now, because, and the reason why I say that is because the parking study, unfortunately, doesn't get done in a month or two. The final study, for the first phase, gets done this summer. Well, the budget's already set. I think we need to plan on where some money's going to come from, so we don't sit around a year, which is a tight year anyway, and do nothing. You know, it's unfortunate timing, but the need is there. The need's not going to go away. In fact, we'll have much more guidance, and I don't think we can expect the town of Berlin to get off scot-free. So I just throw that as another consideration of why, you know, some sort of fee structure in the downtown is going to need to be something that we seriously consider and at least have that available to us when we know what we need, so that we don't waste time and sit around with nothing.
Look, your chart here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the commercial property level, right?
Okay.
Am I understanding this chart right? If the based on $400,000 of assessed value, if the tax rate went from 68 cents to 98 cents. It would be an annual increase of $1,300.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Which, quite frankly, I'm not supportive of. I mean, but I think what you're trying to show here is some perspective.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things, and I don't think there's any disagreement about, we have benefited as a community from economic development that we used to be even dare to dream of. It's not like it's manna from heaven, but we're certainly in a much stronger position than most communities, and we have a brighter immediate and long-term future than most small communities in this region. So one of the things that we have to, again, address is how we're going to continue to make those investments, but at the same time, make it a balance, because we have no way right now. I don't want to see us make the investments we should in economic development, but make our residential taxpayers people who bear that brunt. I think we should provide all the services. They should be as good as we can humanly do and afford, but I think the kind of investments that we have been doing and need to continue to do need to be borne more by the commercial property owners, and it's not because of dislike any of them. It's just, hey, that's where we're having to put money to make all this happen.
Which commercial property owners? All of them?
Well, I'm saying all. If you have another way of finding it, figuring that out, I'm all ears.
Well, sure. If they want to do the events downtown.
It's not just the events. That's one part of it. How much is the events out of your budget that a town share cost? I mean, off the top of my head.
Well, the events, the cost of the events are actually spread through a multitude of departments. So it's not just my department. It's trash pickup. It's police. The events encompass all of our budgets.
What was the question? How much do events cost?
How much events? For the town.
Yeah, so annually, based on our analysis for the last couple years, the town's cost for the events for all of them is about $100,000 a year.
Okay.
That spread includes
how many events?
Well, we have about 49 events. So that ranges from things like taking porta potties over to the museum for their Sunday concerts on the lawn in the afternoon to something really much more robust, which is like the Christmas parade or the ball drop. So there's a wide range in terms of the town commitment to these events. But it's costing us about $100,000.
And here's something else that proposed in this budget, and we haven't gotten down to the nitty gritty details, but here's a perfect example, is that for costs, other than for services that we have to render beyond what we would normally render, that like the sanitation costs, the setup costs, those kinds of things that we would be billing for reimbursement, or the an expense if a town event we can't we take it on, but we only a few of them are actual town events, but the chamber and so forth, they were very understanding. This year they gave us a donation of $5,000 because they recognized it's town money going to make these things successful. Well, as a policy, I'm recommending, and you all have to decide, I think whoever's sponsoring the event has to reimburse fair fees. It has to be based on actual. If you've got a three-day event, you should expect higher expenses than if you have an event that's for 2 or 3 hours in one evening. It just should be proportional. I just want to throw that out because the actual cost to the town next year should be substantially lower if nothing else changes. And I think it's a fair thing. If folks can't afford those what I call basic fees, maybe they should reconsider having the event. I don't think it'll knock anything.
But I do believe there needs to be discussion related to the tiered concept of tax rates as relates to commercial and residential. Personally, sitting here, I think the commercial rate should be increased beyond whatever the residential rate ends up being. There is a value associated with doing business in the town of Berlin. That has become, over the years, a very positive thing. It impacts the residential property taxpayer by their assessed value. That goes up because we're living in this positive place. But I think it is not equitable to have the same rate for residential as commercial. That's just my opinion. And on $400,000 assessed value, if that tax went from 68 cent to 98 cent, the impact on that commercial property would be an addition, no. $1,364. I don't think that is unreasonable.
No,
that's just me.
I understand where you're coming from, but my one fear, and I do say, I understand your causality of saying that we're drawing the points, it increases the real estate values, but my one fear is that we're trying to get maybe the people that own the building to have a little bit more of an equity stake in the success of the town. I think that's the intention of this rate. However, I think what's going to happen is it's going to be a direct pass-through to our local businesses. And I understand that $1,300 might not be a lot when we look at it on paper, but for some businesses that may be tight, it could be a little bit of a harder hurdle to hit. Now, with that being said, none of our other peers have a different rate for residential and commercial, but some of them do receive different percentages on revenue or gross sales, and I think Laura brought this up initially earlier in the year, and maybe we need to set one tax rate for everybody. It's an increase across the board, residential or commercial, and next year we take a little bit more of a proactive approach at trying to get the state legislature to allow us to have...
I will be 150 years old and that will not happen. I have been dealing with this. John Howard Burbage dealt with this. You want to spend the rest of your life doing it? Fine, but I want to get something done now. I want to get this town in the best possible fiscal condition.
I understand.
And I know when
I'm agreeing with you along the property tax rate, but I'm just saying that maybe we could go about making it so that our people that own the buildings and the people that come and set up shop here aren't footing the bill as much as what we could get maybe off of a sales tax.
But there's this thing. I'm just saying, you're whistling Dixie, and you got your hearts in the right place, but I didn't spend the last 50 years of my life dealing with the political wildness of this area, the state, and all that. And it's
a non-starter. It looks like to me we got to find $2 million and we got to do it before we go
now,
to the legislature.
And here's the thing. I just say, no disrespect at all. It's just we have to look out for ourselves. That's what I said earlier. Mm-hmm. We have to become more self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And again, it's like anything else. The more self-sufficient you become as a family, the more self-sufficient you become as a business, the more you're in control of your own fate. And I think that's another thing that's going to be happening in this century more and more and more. And small towns, quite frankly, some of these small towns can't even, they have nothing to tax.
I see what you're saying, but I mean, when I ask the question, do any of our peers have a different rate? The answer is no. But when I ask the same question about whether some of our peers get money back on gross receipts, they do. I go sit down in a restaurant, and sometimes I get a surcharge on my bill. I don't have to travel far either. Yeah. And I'm getting a 1% surcharge on revenue from that business. Why can't we have something similar? I'm not asking for something that's different. I'm just asking for the same treatment.
Well, I'd like to know how...
I'll take you out to dinner, and I'll show it to you. I'll even let you buy.
That's good. That's a very good deal. All right.
You can keep the receipt.
Are you talking about in Worcester County or in the Lower Shore?
I'm telling you right now that in Ocean City, I can go to at least two restaurants and have that assessed on my bill. And it's not something new.
And sometimes it floats according to the weekend.
Monies we're talking about in $1 million to build the reserve versus collecting 0.5% on the sales of the business. The scale of Ocean City in comparison with us is very small. We have pretty much 7 businesses to talk about sales and gross sales. It's probably going to take us, I don't want us to throw a number, but maybe up to 5 years to get approved from legislative perspective to even collect that 0.5% on a food tax from the local business. The severity of building the reserves is what is now. Maybe later down the road, we can additionally add that legislative allowance of the tax collected and set aside for capital projects, because we are aging infrastructure going forward, regardless whether we like it or not. So it's a great idea. Sales tax would be awesome if we can get approved and get a kickback from sales tax.
But if Ocean City can't get it through, what makes you think we can?
Yes.
I mean, I'm going to tell you.
The way Ocean City got it through was they labeled it and they targeted it and they said it's going towards this project.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the only way it happens.
Yes.
And then it said, okay, we want it because of tourism,
which
is its main
business. What drives that down economically is the room tax.
Yeah.
And we don't want to build hotels and motels galore.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two, maybe. But it would mean nothing significant.
And the food and beverage got on there, and all of the food and beverage operations jumped on there because they wanted to see that money spent on a specific
budget
item only.
Yeah.
It wasn't to help balance their budget.
Yeah.
It was to come up with some more money.
And I'm not saying it's the one and only
hall.
Tool. I'm just saying
that was the reason.
We need to look at hopefully not trying to strap some other people. Well, we're trying to target a different group. I understand where you're coming from. I just said my piece.
I know, and you're absolutely, I encourage you to say your piece. But I want to say this, too, is that we have done the right thing for years in investing in our in the infrastructure, in the promotion and marketing, in all phases of economic development and related to infrastructure and water and sewer. I mean, this town... And they did the best they could when they could, but compared to, 25 years ago and stuff, and these two gentlemen, they've seen the difference. But we didn't. You can't get blood out of a turnip, and quite frankly, there was no reason for the town to even discuss trying to get more a more equitable amount of revenue from the business community, because it was hardly a business community there. Now that, nobody's being showered with gold. But at the same time, we've got to find a way that if we're going to continue to do this, and I think there's a lot of support for it, there has to be some way for a municipality, and I don't think the sales tax is the answer at all. We basically, everybody needs to know their upfront cost. I was in the private sector for, 35 years, and, if I knew my cost ahead of time, again, if we're talking about property tax, then the landlord or the owner, the business is either leases or owns, knows how much that cost is well in advance, then they can make their payments, over time or as long as they get it paid within a year. And then we know that the business community of the money we're putting out there is coming at least somewhat proportionally from the people who benefit. I do have a problem with saying to residential property owners, which quite frankly, most of them don't have the standard of living that most of the businesses do, to say, okay, we need more money from you so we can help keep promoting economic development and business in our town. I think there needs, and that's another thing. If I'm wrong, I'll pay the price. But it's one of those things where this idea, if you don't have a strong economy, you can't do anything. This is something as basic as anything, and people don't think about it. But if our town goes into a severe economic slump, we can forget about 80% of the things we're trying to do because the money's just not going to be there. And the town fought through it. I don't want to go back and repeat history. It wasn't anybody's fault. The Depression, the major migration from rural America to suburban America, there were so many things working against this town. And we overcame it, and the town certainly has done its share and more. And I just feel it's time that we get a reasonable and proportional amount back from the business community. And, because the other option is we have to cut severely. And I think that would be a disservice not only to the town overall, but particularly to the business community. You're a business community. You and Tom.
Tax rate, I'm just looking at some simple numbers here. It's somewhere between that 88 and 93 is
Excuse me?
Somewhere between option three and four. I'm thinking option four right now, but I'm not so up for splitting
option,
two up.
Option four is
88 and 93, but I'm not so. I think you really just do across the board, maybe somewhere around 90, 91 will get you the same number, just straight across the board.
And it would still keep us comparable.
What's that?
And it would still keep us comparable when you look.
Well, that's what I'm looking at. We're still comparable. Look, we've waited too long to do this. I mean, that's the bottom line.
So you're thinking 25-cent increase?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. I mean, that's just straight across. Now, look, I'm just from what
I know. Your property is $400,000 like this chart.
We know. I know what it is. I know how it is. But there's a business we're running here, and we got to make sure it don't go under. And right now, it's losing a bunch of money every year. And a lot of it's going to be lent it to the sewer. We have got the nicest sewer system in the state. But we had to pay for it. We got a lot for free. Don't get me wrong. We did a great job with grants and everything else. But this whole time, we've been losing money on it every single year. And it gets getting worse and worse, what I'm seeing. I don't think the operations are going to change a whole lot. Still got to run it. And I don't see, I mean, you may be able to cut 10% out of it, which would be nice. But I don't see you. Still got to run.
So you're liking the single, and you're liking option three or four.
Yep.
Is that what you said? So either 78 or 88. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Actually,
91.
No,
I heard Troy talking 90-91.
Yeah.
What about phasing it in?
The problem is we got $1.7 million, $1.8 million. We do next year. If we don't change nothing, we're $2 million more.
The deficit in the will go further.
So that's
it. Across the board, 91.
Right now, and I just want to see the numbers.
Yeah.
Because you got to do this also along with your water and sewer rates, and you got to look at that first 3,000.
Yeah.
At paying an increase as well will help out, and somewhere we got to get to $1.7 million.
Well, I'm a little different from Troy. I'm at 88 and 98, and if I do 98. I might as well do a dollar.
I don't know the charging.
It's about a $4,000 tax increase for me.
So just to summarize, I know there's another meeting coming up.
$4,000.
Not to pressure, but to pressure as well.
So
there is
like
an actual process
stuff
in place with the State Department of Assessment that I have to follow in writing. So what I'm seeking as a leader for the budget this year is some directions or some feel for, first of all, is whether you're inclined to separate and do the tiering for the real estate.
And when do you need
tax
to know all this? Because we're not going to solve that.
And
you.
Then I have to put it all in writing and submit. Then we will have to go to public hearing and advertisement.
When? I'm asking when.
May.
Okay.
May.
No, we got to know this before May or we can't do the budget.
Yeah.
In other words,
our tax rate down in the county before the end of May.
Yeah.
So we're seeking direction because we have a budget to build.
Yeah.
And I would like to build it around a tax rate or maybe a range of tax rates that, you know, ideally one, but, you know, within a parameter if you need to, so we can build our budget. And so we're going to get into that budget building process pretty quickly next month. And then April 1st, I'm sorry, it's April Fool's Day, but there you go, starts our general fund work sessions with you all. And so what we're hoping by then is that you will have provided some direction with regard to the tax rate that's narrowed down so that when we come to those work sessions, we've got
and again, we need it sooner than later because the work sessions is when they present,
exactly.
Each department presents a budget.
Yeah.
They can't be saying,
yeah,
well, what's the tax rate? Well, now I got to go back.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but right now, not this night, but in the next couple weeks, we've got to make this damn decision. It's not fun. I don't think it's going to get easier.
No, what we have to do is have a recommendation because we could get in the budget process and that part where we have that public hearing, it could blow all of this right out the water.
And I also then would simply ask that everybody tell us, what do you want to stop? What do you want to stop? What do you want to significantly cut back? Because we're not talking, minor dollars here, and it's not like it was thrown away. It was to keep the sewer and water system going.
Oh, we're not done yet.
Yeah.
We're not. There's still a bunch of work and things to fix.
I know. And streets.
Do.
The street study we did last year, we're better off than most.
We got to come off for a little bit, but we got to figure out a plan to make sure.
Let me see. Let me send Laura these pictures of Shell Street.
No. Yeah. Jane has an update for you on Shell Street.
Shell Street is terrible.
It is. Well, quite a few streets have really seen some damage. Even Flower Street right there by the park and down towards Bay Street have really gotten deteriorated. But we are working on the request for proposals for bids for Shell Street, Bottle Branch, and Grace Street.
But in the meantime, can we get something put in those holes?
Yep.
Yeah, because
absolutely,
Shell Street is like an
optical.
Tomorrow.
You don't need any speed
bumps. No.
Tomorrow's good. Tomorrow's
good. You can go down faster if you want.
Well, if it doesn't rain tomorrow, it'll be tomorrow.
I think it might have to be.
We have some sinking on Fly Street, too.
Pardon me?
We have some sinking on Fly Street.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
Okay, none of this is popular. None of it's fun.
None of it's fun. None of it's popular.
We waited a little too long to do this.
So how about if you would give me some sort of two scenarios, one rate, second rate, tier in between residential, commercial, non. I can rerun maybe in a more simple numbers without the percentage.
91 cents.
And emails, so then we go in before the general fund work session April 1st was the idea for the taxes, and then start writing it and put it to state assessment department.
All right, let me ask this. I'll just throw it out and just see what you think. If we use that as an example, say, okay,
I'm let's not for 91.
But run the two of them, you know what I mean? Run with.
All right.
You would like to see with a split tax rate and run one with 91.
All right, yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, because that way we can see the impact, the public can see the impact, and then we can get some guidance because we're trying to make the best decision we can that's also fiscally responsible. And I think it'll become more apparent, you know, is the one rate for everybody the most fair thing we can do, or is a two-tier system that, again, takes into account that, you know, I can't imagine being up around the 98 cents or more. I just can't even conceive of it. But
for
what,
residential?
For either.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, honestly, I was just being fair.
I apologize. I stepped out for a second to use the restroom, so I missed part of what you talked about. So you'd like
to see one generation of a 91 cent across the board tax rate.
Right.
For both commercial and residential.
Right. And then Dean would like to see one, which it would be nice to see a comparison.
Sure.
To see whether we're making the right
88
and 105.
110. You're going to give me a stroke at 105.
And I guess here's the thing. Once we see that, because we'll see what it generates, it may be that some sort of compromise is possible as long as we come up with the money we need.
It's not clear what you're... I'm sorry. It's not clear. Right. So I heard run the analysis with 91 cents across the board, like one rate, and then Dean wants, and then that's all
we all want.
88...
We all want to see this.
88,
90, 88, 90.
And send it in Excel format, please.
Okay.
And Dean's house is going to $2.
Roger, you guys are in the conference room.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
That works.
And I also have another request. During the department presentations, I would like to see the top five expenses for each department, excluding payroll and capital expenses. So that, like Jane talked about, some of her overhead expenses that are kind of eating away, that we can start planning for those a little bit more into the future, whether we have to start looking at some ways that we can offset some of the electric costs or some of the operating expenses. I'd like to see that now as opposed to later.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then on the stormwater, I didn't hear a lot of discussion.
Yeah, we didn't get there. Basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding of this is that, you know, we've been very fortunate. We didn't get a grant for this year, but we've been very fortunate to get the grants we have. And you have to, and I'll use this analogy, I've used it with a lot of other folks. If you need money for something that we're doing the right thing again by trying to eliminate flooding except for extreme events, which, you know, we can't help that. But basically to make flooding not the issues that it used to be, and it's gotten much better east of 113, and it's starting to get better as we move for significant stormwater improvements from east to west.
And everybody wants it. And I'm so glad that they want it, because we were afraid in the beginning that people wouldn't support having a thing. Now it's like, may I be next? Well, we'd love to, but here's the thing. We can't do it by ourselves. So the money that we raise is then, I call it the seed money, that we then, the state puts up the big money. And I think so far we've spent about, what, $3 million?
Something like that.
Which is as much as they said the whole thing would be done, and we're just getting to Grice and Grand. I think it's realistic to say we're going to need another $3 to $3.5 million, about, you know, best we can come. We'll know more as we get. More, maybe more? Okay.
Yeah, well, you've got about $10 million worth of outstanding townwide.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that we need to have the money in hand for our share to get those additional grants. So it looks like we have a second tier, maybe a third tier. And we can't, at this rate, we'll be, a lot of people in this room will be in either debt or in a nursing home. We've got to do it in at least a timely fashion. So
yeah, cheery outlook.
Yeah, cheery. I'm just being very realistic. This stuff, you know, when you're fighting Mother Nature, it's serious business. But
I got some time.
You got some time. But realistically, we need to address these problems as early as we can. And if we adjust the rate here, then if we are providing more income locally, we have more money to go to the state with, because the projects are, again, just like we were talking earlier, much more expensive than what we were, the experts, the engineers said they were 5 and 6 years ago. Who are we to blame? We can't blame.
In your $3 million we spent, though, we've gotten 2.5 of that.
Yes.
Grants.
Yeah. And it's because if we hadn't had the fee, we would have gotten nothing.
We've gotten nothing, right.
I would like to see the budget built with the increased stormwater fees. I mean, I get it daily. I have Marie here in the audience. West Street's bad.
Yeah. Yes.
I've got Franklin Knowles. They're on me all the time.
Yep.
And rightfully so, because these places are experiencing, on a heavy rain, they can't even get out of their driveway.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, we're fixing areas, but we still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. And I think I'd like to, you know, I understand that we're not going to get a grant every year, but they've explained to us why we didn't.
And but we need to have the money there in case we need to jump on an opportunity.
And quite frankly, I think if we have, and again, I don't have a crystal ball, but if we have raised our fees, we've done everything we've been asked to do, it makes it less likely that they'll say no. If you don't do what they say, what do you expect? And that's what they're advising us we need to do for the size and multiple, the size and scale correcting our stormwater problems, we simply have to raise more money to get significantly more money. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much the whole story there. And again, the amount was to go $50 a year to $100 a year for residents.
And a 30% increase on commercial.
And again, I don't know what that means in exactly dollar-wise, but if you can bet the next meeting, kind of give us some examples.
It's included in the sample for the commercial. If you look at the commercial business, it was included in the retail operation. So you can see how
the average stormwater
annual goes up from 300 to 390.
So in other words, for residential, it would go up about $50, and for this typical example, it would go up 90. Yeah. Some will pay less, some will pay more.
Exactly.
Depending on the size of the business.
Okay.
Okay.
I have what I need.